preach a message beginning our taking our text from Exodus chapter 12, entitled A New Beginning Through God's Redemption. A New Beginning Through God's Redemption. We'll read the first 14 verses, and then verse 2 will be our text. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Let every man make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, the head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 2 again, which is our text. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. God never makes mistakes. That is something common for us. Pencils have erasers on them. We constantly are having to apologize and to make things right for making mistakes. God never needs a second chance. What he does is unalterably perfect. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3:14, thinking in this regard. The Lord says, I know, the prophet says concerning the Lord, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it, that men should fear before him. In other words, God is sovereign. His word, his purposes, his works come to fulfillment. Everything that God says comes to pass. Now, God doesn't need nor take a mulligan. Some of you may play golf. Now, in the official rules of golf, a mulligan is not allowed, but that's where someone, you know, they just feel like they're not doing very well, and right off the tee, man, it goes over into the woods, and they say to his friends, well, I'll just take a mulligan, and they take another shot, and they don't count that stroke. God doesn't have to take, nor does he ever take, a mulligan. Everything God does is right. God created man perfect, righteous, without sin, nor an inclination to sin. Yet man, unlike God, is a mutable creature, and God made him according to his plan, perfectly righteous, but mutable. That means he could change. But he had no inclination to sin. His inclination was toward righteousness, but he had the ability to exercise his will. And what we find out, that man, because of his choice to change through sin, found himself in a place where he needed a new beginning. Without God giving man the grace, mercy, and faithful love to have new beginnings, there would be no mankind on the earth. Now God said, the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And yet we are here today. Now God was true to his word, and we find that that day there was a change that took place in Adam and Eve's heart that regarded a death within their spiritual relationship to God. And from that day forward, they began the process of death and decay, and they died in many years later. And so God was true to his word. The death took place immediately, and then in their body progressively. But what we find is that God's perfect, unalterable plan for a new beginning for man in his Son Jesus Christ before man ever sinned. God is the God of new beginnings. That's what I want you to be encouraged with today. I want you to hear from the Word of God. God gave man hope by the way he ordered creation to give us life in increments of time and seasons of hope. Listen to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now when God created the world, he knew what he was doing. We understand Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Matter of fact, we are taught something. If we carefully look at the order of creation, God created the world with beginning with the evening and the morning. When we enter into the creation account, we enter into a realm of darkness, and then the light comes forth. The Apostle John says the time of darkness has passed and the true light shines. Jesus, the light of the world. And even in the order of creation, God is giving us hope, because though there would be a fall and though there would be darkness, the morning of salvation would come. You see, that is the idea. So God knew that man would sin, and he knew that sin would enter into the world and that life would be filled with burdens. Have you ever thought of the grace of God in God creating the day? The day to cut our burdens into smaller parts, which are easier to bear. I don't know about you, but there are times when I just seemed overwhelmed. But when I'm like that, sometimes I'll just go to bed a little bit early, and it seems like I'll wake up with renewed strength. And those burdens of my life are cut in smaller increments. And so God gives us life one day at a time, and that's because he knows the weakness of our flesh, you see. Now, he created the dark evening to be followed by the light of a new day. That, again, was to give us hope. One of my favorite verses I quote most often, many times in my prayers, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so that is telling us that God is gracious and that God renews us. And many times in the morning when we begin our new day, we can find new strength. We have a system in our school of giving demerits for disobedience. But they do not carry over. In other words, if you get 3 demerits on Tuesday, you don't come in. And if you get a demerit on Wednesday, it makes 4. They start new every day. And God renews us, and his mercies are new every morning. And we can be forgiven, and God gives us a new start. God gives us new hope. He gives us a new day through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, not only do days cut man's burden into smaller, manageable parts and give new hope each day, each morning, but think how the seasons of the year which God made give hope. I mean, you have the fall time and the world around us begins to change. And we see the beginning of leaves losing their green color and decaying and falling off the trees. And then we go into winter, and winter is a time where it looks like death has taken over. And if you look out in the woods and you look at the trees, I mean, you can't tell the difference between a live tree and a dead tree during the winter. They all have the appearance of death. But then what does God bring by His grace? The blossoms, the beauty, the fragrances, the newness of spring, to encourage us and to let us know that things can, that seem so bad, that there can be a change, and that this world, which is under a curse, will one day find the power that curse will be removed. And so God is giving us hope. He's teaching us that there can be new beginnings. Now, as I look in the Old Testament, in a major sense, I'm not taking every particular incident, but in a major sense, there are three times when God's judgment brought death. But God, in each of these, through His grace and mercy, brought a new beginning through His redemption. That's the very nature of God. God is a God of new beginnings. As we have begun the year 2022, I want you to be encouraged that God is the God of new beginnings. Let's think of this for a minute. When Adam and Eve sinned, the judgment of death came upon them, as God clearly told them it would. It was not, the command was not ambiguous. As Brother Younger used to say, it's like pouring water out of a boot with the instructions written on the heel. I mean, it was pretty clear that God taught them and commanded and told them that in the day that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. And we know that Eve did that and Adam followed. But you know what? God gave them a new beginning by promising them that the Lord would bring into the world a conquering Savior, and it would be through their seed, through the seed of the woman. Now, obviously, let's think through this. If He gave them a promise that a conquering Savior is going to come in through the seed of the woman, then that they were going to be delivered, that they were not just going to die, and that would be the end of mankind. He gave them encouragement. He gave them hope. And so instead of death cutting off all human seed, God gave a promise of a new beginning through a new seed, Jesus Christ. Why? Because God is a God of new beginnings. God is a God of redemption. He is a God that, though He needs no second chance, God is a God that gives us second chances, you see. And thanks be to His name that He does. Now, when man had so corrupted the world by his ever-increasing sinfulness, God was moved to justly destroy man, and with man destroy the world by a worldwide flood. And God, through the grace, but God, we see through His grace, He gave to Noah a new beginning. He saved Noah and his family in the ark. And in doing that, He was saving mankind. And though the world was destroyed, God, through Noah, gave a new beginning. You see, now we think of the world and of sin entering in and of the curse and of death, and we think of the destruction of the world itself and all those living things and all the creatures upon the earth died. But God, in Noah, as I taught just a week or so ago, the idea is that He would bring in rest. And that rest that He would bring in, prophetically, in the eschatological sense, in the final sense, is found in Jesus Christ. Let me just quote something here. The world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. In other words, there was an antediluvian world. That means before the flood. And that world perished. It was destroyed. But God in Christ promised a new beginning. He promised a new heavens and a new earth yet to come in Jesus Christ. Now, he, of course, gave mankind a new beginning in that there is the world then and there is the world now, but there is the world to come. And the world now is kept in store. And actually, we think of that as a bad thing at first because it's kept in store for fiery judgment. But really, it's a good thing. In other words, the promise that God gave Noah was basically the promise, not, it deals with the worldwide flood, but if you understand the context, and the idea is that God is preserving the world until the consummation of all things. He's not willing that any should perish. He is going to bring in all of his elect. He's going to bring in from those of all nations, all language groups, all people groups, a number that no man could number, to the glory and to the honor of his name and to his son Jesus Christ. And so he's saying that he's going to preserve the world until the consummation of all things and until God has brought back and until God will consume everything in a cataclysmic judgment, and he will bring a new heavens and a new earth. You see, this is the promise. We find that in Peter, 2 Peter 3. He says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. You see, this new world, the key quality of it is righteousness. You find that the world that was destroyed then, the key characteristic of it was sinfulness. It said that God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. They had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God judged man, you see, because of corrupting his way upon the earth. But we find that through the Old Testament scriptures, and even from the idea of what he told Noah, the promise of bringing us into a rest, and there can be no rest until you're delivered from the guilt and the grip of sin. And so God promised a new heavens and a new earth, a new beginning. There is a new beginning coming. This isn't the final word. There is a new beginning coming for the children of God. Now, when God brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he brought a judgment of death. So we've seen death coming into the world. We've seen death coming to the world in the flood. And now we see here when God poured judgment of death upon the land of Egypt, upon any who did not receive his redemption through the blood of the Lamb. Now, when you look at this, let me kind of change your perspective just a little. If you look at Exodus chapter 12, you'll find the word stranger. It is actually, in the Greek, the word comes out proselyte. And so he begins to talk in Exodus chapter 12 about the proselyte. Now, he doesn't really develop all of the thought. But what you need to understand and what I need to understand, God didn't just deliver the Jews because they were Jews and condemn the Egyptians because they were Egyptians. If there were any proselytes among them that were Egyptian and they followed and they took the blood, as God said, and they put it on the doorpost and upon the lintel, and they followed the instruction of God as a proselyte, though by birth an Egyptian, but by faith a Hebrew, that God would have passed over that household also, and I'm persuaded that there no doubt were many such. You can't have some probably 3 million people without having some converts. And I think there were those among Egypt, there were some that truly came to faith. And so he didn't just kill the Egyptians because they were Egyptians. He didn't just save the Hebrews because they were Hebrews. You understand that though you were a Hebrew of the Hebrews, if you did not have the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, as God said, when the death angel passed over, the firstborn of that household would die. God said, when I see the blood, and that's the way it is with us today. There's a lot of different things that we can say and a lot of different things that we can do. But when it comes to final judgment, is the blood of Jesus Christ, has it been applied to your life, your house, The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Our life is referred to as a house. And it does your house, is it upon the rock? And has the blood put upon the doorpost and on the lintel, you see. Now this is what we find here. So God gave them a new beginning. Do you see in each of these? God gave Adam and Eve a promise. He gave them a new beginning. He gave the world a new beginning in Noah. He gave Israel a new beginning in the institution of the Passover and the blood. Now, in verse 2, he said, "This shall be unto you the beginning of months." Now, you understand, if it was already the beginning of months, that wouldn't make any sense. The Jews to this day have a civil calendar and a religious calendar. The civil calendar, this would have been the seventh month of the year. But he is telling them that because I am delivering you, that this is a new beginning. You're beginning a new history. And I want you to make this the first month of the year because it is a new beginning. Now, I can't come to this passage without sharing with you, and many of you have heard this many times before, but there is one of the best presentations of the gospel in this passage that I've ever seen, and I want to present it to you. If you look with me, you'll find in verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of the children of the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to every man a lamb." Note the indefinite article. A lamb. "According to the house of their fathers." A lamb for a house. Now, I would parallel that with the idea of realizing that a lamb is needed. And there are many that realize that some sacrifice has to be made. There has to be someone, the innocent dying for the guilty, or some sacrifice to be saved. But it's in rather general terms. But look with me at verse 4. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." In other words, there isn't just any lamb. Yes, there is a need for a lamb, but there isn't just any lamb. It is the Lamb of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone. That is called a definite article. Jesus is the Lord and the Savior. Now look with me at verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." And here it gets right down. There are those raised in Baptist churches that know that there must be a lamb. They even know that Jesus is the lamb, but they've never come to the place where he is your lamb. That is salvation, where you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's when God sees the blood, the death of Jesus Christ, in the stead of sinners. Now, as we look at this, we see that he gave them a new beginning. We see that there was a birth of a new nation. They were leaving a time of slavery in Egypt. They were given new hope by the promise and the power of God. God's power present in their lives and his promise of a new land flowing with milk and honey. That's what he promised them. "I'll take you out of Egypt. I'll bring you into a land of milk and honey," which was a euphemism for a land of great prosperity. "And I'll be your God, and you'll be my people." In other words, he gave them a new beginning. Now remember, Jesus is our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7. "For even Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us." For, listen to that again, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrifice for us." Now that should tell us something. That should tell us that in Jesus Christ we have a new beginning. In Jesus Christ we have redemption. And there's a great teaching in what we have just read in chapter 12 of Exodus concerning justification. God narrowed it down to one thing. He didn't say, "When I see that you're a Hebrew." He didn't say that I see this or I see that. He said, when I see the blood. The Bible teaches that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by faith in His blood. It is the work of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who is our Passover. In other words, He is the Lamb. And when you trust Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, He's your Lamb. And that's the way John the Baptist presented Him. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And so God presents the way of a new beginning. We'll see in a minute when we talk about the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's the new beginning. And we find that in the gospel of Mark, it says this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the good news, you find. Now, there's another time that the judgment of death fell upon the world. But this time it fell upon the last Adam, the second man, for the sins of the whole world. Once again, the God of hope, the God of new beginnings, gave redemption. Because the Bible says for everyone who places faith in Jesus Christ, they receive eternal life. They receive a new beginning. And so you may not think of it, but do you realize that when God judged Jesus, it was an end time judgment. It was the end of the world. That's why we are living in the last days. In other words, when we stand before God that are in Christ, we will not be judged for the guilt of our sin. All the world will stand before God, and those outside of Jesus Christ will be judged for the guilt of their sin. Now, we will be judged for the activity and the stewardship of our life. But we will not be judged for the guilt of our sin. You understand that when you received eternal life, when you received the Spirit of God, that is God's final word in regard to your state before Him, whether condemned or justified. Because the reward of eternal life and the reward of the Spirit are those which God gives because of justification. You see, John 5:24, it teaches this very point. Now listen carefully, and I'll just jump over there. I know it by heart, but I want to read it verbatim. Now listen to this carefully and understand the truth of it. It says in John 5:24, verily, verily. That's being emphatic. In other words, this is true. This is true. In the Greek, it's amen, amen. So be it, so be it. I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. In other words, you have already passed from death unto life. When you were saved, he translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which is a kingdom of light, a kingdom of life. You are born again. You were given the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit to indwell and to be united to your spirit. So you have eternal life. And that is because you have been justified, because the blood has been applied. Now, we will be judged, but we will be judged for our deeds and for our labor and our service unto Jesus Christ. But at Calvary, the end of the world for us was it in Jesus. You see, the darkness and the earthquake there's about six different miracles that took place when Jesus hung upon the cross, and all of them teach us a lesson, and that was a great judgment, you understand. And it was there that our sins were judged in Jesus, and it is there he gave us a new beginning. For whosoever believes in Jesus Christ receives eternal life. By his resurrection, we have a new beginning in him, even eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:21-22, it says this, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so here is our second chance. Here is our new beginning in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you've thought of this and put this all together, but we find that this is why we worship on Sunday. This is the first day of the week. See, they worshiped on the last day of the week. Sunday is the first day of the week. We think of Monday as the first day of the week because in our culture, that's when we begin the work week. But you realize Sunday is the first day of the week. It is the day of Jesus' resurrection. It is the Lord's Day, called that in Revelation 1. This represents our new beginning in Jesus Christ. Just like he said, this is the beginning of months. This is the beginning of your year. This is the beginning of your redemption. Likewise, Sunday represents the new beginning. It represents the new creation. Now think with me, how was Jesus born? Jesus was a new creation. Now he was born of Mary. He's fully human, but his procreation did not come in the ordinary means. It was a creative act. God, the Spirit, did the fatherly part of bringing about the conception in the womb of Mary. And think of our birth. It is a new birth. It is a spiritual birth. It is being born from above. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Jesus Christ, we enter into the new creation. So God said, this shall be a beginning for you. That's the idea. You're going to worship me on Sunday. You're going to worship me on the first day of the week. That's the day I resurrected on. That's the day he appeared to the disciples. He appeared the first Sunday evening and then the next Sunday evening. That was the time that they met in the New Testament. That is why we worship on the Lord's Day. It's the day of the new creation, you see. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a new beginning. Listen to this carefully. This is Philippians 4:15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no man communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now he refers to them as being the beginning of the gospel. Now, they were not the first ones Paul preached to. The beginning of the gospel has reference to their life. This beginning, this new beginning, you see, this is the idea, the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel refers to their new beginning given them when they first received the gospel. Both Philippians and Colossians speak of this. Take your Bibles with me. Go over to Philippians. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. And we want to see this, what I am showing you here. Is that just as we had a new beginning with Adam and Eve, a new beginning with Noah, a new beginning with the Passover, and a new beginning at Calvary, that new beginning comes to you in the gospel. That's when you receive this new beginning, this redemption through Jesus Christ. So now we're at Philippians chapter 1, and we're reading verses 2 through 6. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now look at this. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what did he say? That this, from the first day you heard this, there has been fellowship. There has been fruitfulness from the first day. The first day of the gospel is this new beginning that he speaks of in chapter 4, from the beginning of the gospel. This is when God began a work in them. So when God saves the lost sinner, it is a new beginning for them. Old things are passed away, 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things become new. This is what we need to realize. Let's see this also in Colossians. Go to the next book. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6. We give thee thanks. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Now Colossians 1, 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. You see, this is a new beginning. It is a gospel beginning. Each one here today who has trusted Jesus Christ, God has given you in Jesus Christ a new beginning, a new hope. The Bible says that we are born again of hope, born of hope, born again unto God. Now, in 1 John 2:24, we find the new beginning of the gospel again. I'll just quote it to you. Listen to me carefully as I quote this. This is 1 John 2:24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, what is he talking about? Since you heard from the beginning, that's talking about the beginning of the gospel. This is a new beginning through redemption. That is the point of the message. God gave Adam and Eve, he gave mankind a new beginning through the redemption of the promised conquering seed through the seed of the woman. He gave the world a new beginning in saving Noah and giving him the promise of bringing the world into rest. He gave the nation Israel a new beginning, the birth of a nation through whom Christ would come, through the blood of the Lamb put upon the doorpost. And God has given us a new beginning in Jesus Christ when he died and laid down his life for the guilt of our sin. And God judged us in Christ, in a final sense, in an eschatological sense. It was a final judgment for our sins. It was an end time judgment. It was the end of the world, as it were. That's why I've already begun, in some ways, living in the newness of life, you see. And so this is the new beginning. It is, and when it comes to you, it comes in the gospel. You can be here today and lost. And you can go out of here having a new beginning to your life through the redemption of Jesus Christ. This is the message. This is what he teaches. Now, for us that have believed, he gives a warning. This that you've heard from the beginning must remain in you. It must abide in you. There are some people that make a profession of faith. They say they believe the gospel, and then they leave. We have seen that happen right here at Pleasant View Baptist Church. There have been those that have gone out, gone back to the world, and even turned against God in an active sense. You must continue. Now, we are not saved by our faithfulness, but if you are saved, God will help you, and you will maintain that faithfulness, you see. We will continue, and this is the idea. Now, by faith in Jesus Christ, think of this. We die in the death of Jesus, that Jesus died for us. And we receive a new beginning of life in him. You see, when Jesus died, we died with him. That was our death. You see? And so that's why I'm saying it's a final sense. We died and we were judged. And God found us guilty, but Jesus bore the guilt. And since he is the sinless Son of God, once he paid for the guilt of our sins, there was no guilt to keep him in the realm of death. He was able to come forth from the dead. And he did. And he was able to give us life as God has planned. Think of this, the new beginning. When you're saved, the Bible says you receive a new name. You have a new citizenship. You now have a new family. You have a new father. You have a new inheritance. You have a new life. All of these things we have in Jesus Christ. Now, even in our Christian life, we are renewed in our life day by day. I don't know how many times I've just been at my wit's end. I've just felt so burdened. And I just felt like I can't live another day. And I go to the Lord in prayer and I cast all my care upon Him. And my strength is renewed. You know what the doldrums are? You can get at a certain latitude. And ships using sails, you know, in years gone by, they didn't have powered engines, you know, gas-powered, diesel-powered engines. And they just had to sail by the wind. And they found out they got in certain latitudes and certain times of the year, and the wind just stopped, and they could stay in those doldrums. They could even die in the doldrums. But I tell you, when you go to God in prayer and you're in the doldrums, all of a sudden you wake up and there's a wind in your sail, and you find the renewed life that God gives you. When you call upon Him and His mercies are found new in the morning, and God can renew you when you call upon Him. God can give you a new beginning. You might be ready to throw in the towel, as we use the terminology. And you go to God in prayer and you're renewed. And you have a fresh breeze in your sails and a fresh outlook upon life. And you know that you're cleansed. You know you're a child of God. And God renews your spirit. This is the idea. He is a God of new beginnings. That's why He gives us life one day at a time. We are to take up the cross daily. Why? So we'll come back to our salvation. When He takes up the cross daily, He says that He's not just saying you need to suffer daily. Where's this cross come from? He is saying that you die with Jesus Christ daily. You take up the cross upon which you died, which is the cross upon which Jesus died. You daily come face to face with the gospel. That's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now hear me clearly. To the Apostle Paul, every moment of his life was a Christ crucified moment. He was never moved from the gospel. You should be never moved from the gospel. And sometimes we begin to change and we begin to think that God's ground upon which He accepts us has changed. And now that we've messed up, we've sinned, we've fallen, that God no longer receives us. Well, you understand you were in a lot worse shape when He found you. And He received you entirely because of what we have in Jesus Christ. And God hasn't changed. And that's how you can be renewed. Just take your hope, take your faith, place it back upon Jesus. As ye receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Be renewed in the gospel, and it will renew this new beginning. And so even in our Christian life, we are renewed day by day. Remember the Apostle Paul, and he said this as a Christian. He said, I count myself not to have apprehended, but those things, I forget those things that are behind, you see. And I press forward. And all of us have failed. All of us have done things we wish we could redo and so forth. And we have sinned. Well, we can ask God to forgive us, you see, and put those things behind us and press forward in the new beginning that He gives us daily in forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, in the gospel, we do not turn over a new leaf. We become a new tree. That's the new beginning in Jesus Christ. He doesn't take a person and they just turn over a new leaf. By the grace of God, they go from being a corrupt tree to being a righteous tree. They're born again. We don't just reform our life. God gives us new life. We begin a new history. Just as the 70 souls who went down into Egypt, who had grown to be about 3 million, began a new history as the Lord's holy nation, whom He had chosen. 70 of them went down into Egypt. About 300 of them left Egypt in the Exodus. And during that time and by the Passover, they had become a holy nation. You see. Now, do you need and desire a new beginning? Do you believe that God can remove and cast away the guilt of your sins? A new birth involves some pain. You know, pain, you have birth pangs. Obviously, I'm a man, I've never given birth, but I've been in the hospital when others have given birth, and I've heard them cry out. I know it's a painful process, but I've never known of a case where a woman has already begun her birth pangs and said, no, I don't want to have the child. This is too much. In other words, they're willing, no matter how bad the pain is, to go through it because they know the joy of the child. And so it is. There's a lot of birth pangs in the new birth. A lot is involved in repentance and change of life. But God gives us new life. The evening, then the morning, teaches us new beginnings and gives us new hope. A new year begun in Jesus Christ can bring new life, new hope. As a child of God, we can daily walk in the newness of life. We daily can be renewed in new mercies and grace and renewed hope. And we must abide in that which we have heard in the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Call upon Jesus Christ for a new beginning. Either a sinner calling upon him as the Lord and Savior, or a child of God calling on him for a renewal. You can find a new beginning through the redemption that God has given. And we are redeemed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you can find newness each day, and you can find renewed years and renewed life by trusting in him. He is a God of new beginnings through redemption. Let's all stand, and Brother Isaac's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation as we all stand.